Where we left off this morning, we were talking about the importance of working out. And we pointed out when God first gave a command in the Garden of Eden regarding what they eat, it was enough. You shall not eat. Many of the Ten Commandments were those. And a lot of what our children need to learn in their early saints is how they were having to eat when they were old enough. I don't know, they weren't very old, they were physically mature, but I take it they had not been around probably a real long time. In fact, Adam's given to know, and then Eve is created, and she would learn it from him. So,
The point is being, for immature people, early on in their training, one of the most important concepts is no. The problem is that little children also learn the word no and realize that's a pretty powerful word. So one day, mom says, okay, let's pick up your toys. And Junior goes, no. And this is where we have to make a distinction. We have to teach the child to respect the prohibitory no. Not just the parental no, by the way, the prohibitory no. I was remember one time teaching on this over in Europe, and a preacher, one of the American preachers over there, his comment was, it's important that our children understand they don't have to obey anybody but us. Nobody but their parents do they need to obey. Well, then don't send them to a Bible class. Don't send them to somebody else's house. Because if you're going to let other people watch your children, that's a terrible way to teach your children. You don't have to obey anybody. And so then you have a little kid that says what? I don't have to obey anybody but my mom. No. The Bible teaches respect for authority. So when they're told no, when their Sunday school teacher says no, they need to listen to it. Well, if a school teacher says no, if they're at somebody's house and the mom says, no, we don't put our feet up on the table, he doesn't need to say, well, my mom said, he needs to listen to the no. But there has to be a zero tolerance for the defiant no. Where that child says, no, don't put up with that. There's a lot of stupid things I've done in my life and a lot of things I haven't accomplished that I would have liked to accomplish. But one of the things I wanted when I was a teenager, there I had a couple main thoughts about family life. And one of them was this. I'm not going to have a brat that goes, no, because I'd seen it. And my mom and dad did not put up with that. I don't ever remember doing that to my mom. I couldn't imagine trying to do that to my mom and dad. And so when I would see somebody else do that, I just decided that's not going to happen in my house. That doesn't mean none of my children ever said no. It means that when they did, they found out why they should not do that. It's a serious, serious thing. One time, there was a mom who was dealing with a child, and she would call me on the phone, and she would say, just listen to him. Listen to him.
I don't know what version it is.
Oh, man. Let's go for, oh, yes, none of those. Any one of those will,
those are your most recent opened ones.
Just take that one. That one will be okay. Yeah. I'll just advance forward. All right. That'll work good. All right. Thanks. So she said, Sam, thank you very, very much for that. Thank you everybody for your patience in there. And we're right here. So she was saying, look what my child is doing. Just listen to him, listen to him. And she would tell me, there's something wrong with him. There's something wrong with him. And she would hold the phone up and I could hear how disrespectful and disobedient he was being. And so, like, I would take the child with me and he would be very good. And then I remember, there must be something wrong with him. I said, he doesn't do that when he's with me. If there was something biologically wrong with this child, that they couldn't behave themselves, they would misbehave with you and they would misbehave with other people. In this particular situation, for whatever dynamics, there was a tension that built up between that parent and that child. And the child felt it and the mother felt it. And it was just a battle. And one time, we were over there, we were having a Bible study, and the child came along, and the mom told the child to do something. And as he went, no. And then away he went. A little bit later in the Bible study, I didn't say anything at the moment, but a little bit later in the Bible study, she started saying, I don't understand why, and she didn't think I'd heard that. She was talking about other things. I just don't understand why he's like this and like this and like this. I said, it's because you're inconsistent. It's because, like a while ago, when he told you no, and you didn't do anything about it. And she went, you heard that? I said, yes. And she told me at one point, she says, I don't have time to deal with every disobedience. That is why you get so many times of disobedience. They're part of parenting. It's you've got this little human being here that listens to you if you will train them to. Now, if you don't train them to, they won't. But they're ready to listen to you. And who they will be as an adult can be largely helped by you pointing them in the right direction. And you've got the time and opportunity to do it. And when their attitude is wrong and you got that problem, if you then say, I don't have time, what is it that's more important than your child? I mean, really? You remember when we talked about this morning, the difference between the termites and the corruption coming in? If you've got a choice between your house burning to the ground and having your children with you in eternal life, is there any question which of those you would want to choose? Let the house burn if the house has to burn, but protect your home. And what is it that, well, they're being disobedient, but, you know, it's really important that I make these cupcakes, or really important that I get them to soccer practice. You know what? If he's being rebellious and disobedient, maybe he shouldn't get to go to soccer practice. One of the last things you do, no, last thing you do means sometimes you would do it. One of the things you don't do, you don't give the child what they want when they're misbehaving. When they are misbehaving, they should not get what they want. So when you let that no get in there, then you're just asking for trouble, and it will build, and it will build, and it will build. So if a child says no, sometimes it may be a little bit funny, and you have to cover your mouth like this, you know, while you're talking to them very seriously, because sometimes when kids are little, it's funny, their misbehavior is funny. But it doesn't mean it's not serious. And they have to see you take that serious. You take the time, and child training time pays off so much. Hebrews chapter 12 was a passage mentioned this morning. Everybody turn there, please. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 11. The text is talking about chastening that we received from parents and that we thus received from God. And in verse 11, it says, all chastening seems for the present to be not joyous, but grievous. Yet afterwards, it yields peaceable fruit unto them that have been exercised thereby under the fruit of righteousness. At the moment, it's not fun. If you were planning to go out, oh, I'm going to go meet some friends for tea, and you were really looking forward to that, and now your child is misbehaving, and there's a problem there, what would be more pleasant for you? we'll just ignore that. I want to go do what I want to do. But what, that's part of what parenting is. It's sacrifice. Parenting means here's this little human, and they need to learn this lesson. Now, if you're training them regularly, it's not going to take you very long at all. You'll be able to get that done, and then you'll be able to go make your appointment. But if you're letting it go, letting it go, letting it go, letting it go, then you're going to have a huge problem. So don't do that. There should be a zero defiance for the defiant and rebellious no. Another thing is this. If you don't mean it, don't say it. If you do mean it, enforce it. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 37. Matthew 5, verse 37. This is in the context where Jesus is telling us not to swear. Jews at the time, they would just swear a lot. The examples, you know, I swear there were more people on the road today than there were coming out of Egypt. Or I swear there was a snake on the road today as big as a beam, you know, and that type of thing. And he's saying, don't swear. And look what he says, verse 37. Let your speech be yea, yea, nay, nay. Whatever is more than these is of the evil one. What's that saying? You might have a modern translation that sounds more like this. Let your yes be yes, and your no be no. You remember the fellow in line with his little boy in the truck this morning? What was it? What it was? No, 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 no. Yes. That teaches the child to disrespect the parent. That teaches a child to view the parent as an obstacle to manipulate and to wear down. Let your no be no. But don't be so quick with the no. Being a good parent doesn't mean you said no more times than the other parents. There should be a lot of yes. If you've got two homes and there's 1,024 rules in this one, and most of them are no, and they're enforced inconsistently, and there's only 10 rules in this home, but they're consistent, which child do you want to have working for you if you have a business? Because he's learned what? When there's a rule, you follow it. So he might not have had that rule, but here's this rule, and you do it. You do what you're supposed to do. Inconsistent application of more and more no's is not effective. Let the no be no. There might be some rare situation where you needed some further information, where a child's being respectful, a child's being obedient, and you've said something, and then they want to explain, well, Mom, would it be okay if, you know, because there was this going on and here was some other information you didn't have. If they're doing it in a respectful way and this is not a regular thing where they're trying to debate, then of course you as a parent might do what? Oh, thanks for that extra information. Yeah, based on that, sure, you can do that. But don't be the parent that's just automatically, no. You know, Mom, can I play in the street? No. Can I play in the yard? No. Can I play in the house? No. You know, can I have fun? No. That's not a good parent. This is an important foundation because learning to submit to your earthly parent prepares them to submit to their eternal Father. Have you seen people who in their spiritual walk want to see if they can cut corners, see what they can get away with, argue with God, and this type of stuff? You ever seen people like that? Do you suppose those were people that were raised by firm parents that taught them to respect no? They were probably raised by people that did what? That were inconsistent and could be manipulated, and you could get away with stuff, and if you smiled right, you could get away with it. If you ever feel selfish, like, why do I, they don't want to do that, and I said they have to do it, now I feel bad, am I being a selfish because I want him to obey me. You know, I said tell grandma please, and now he doesn't want to. Well, he's four. He's four and he's old enough to say please. And if you told him to tell grandma please and he doesn't want to say please, he doesn't get what grandma's got. Period. And if you said tell grandma thank you and he goes, no, tell grandma thank you, then whatever he got goes back to grandma and grandma's. There's something that sometimes happened. When mom and dad were young, they understood these rules. And now that they're grandparents, oh, it doesn't matter. It still does. Don't do that. Respect mom and dad's efforts there. And you know what? He shouldn't get it. If he's not willing to tell grandma thank you, he shouldn't get it. Oh, but he would like it. I don't care if he would like it or not. If he thinks he's so entitled that grandma's just supposed to give him things and he doesn't even need to be respectful and appreciative about it, that is, there it is again, the last thing he should get. No, it's not the last thing he should get. It's the thing he should not get. You ever seen adults that have a sense of entitlement? They just expect other people to take care of them and stuff. Don't raise an entitled child. And when the child learns, you know what? Mom said that, so I can't do that. I did a lot of stupid things when I was in high school. And I'm ashamed of how poorly in many ways I behaved. But there were some ways in which I understood. And I'll tell you what one of them was. One time, I'd asked Dad, I said, my buddies, and they weren't Christians, but they were the guys I hung with, and we weren't a real good group at church, but we were going to camp out in the camper back when, and told Dad, I said, you know, we're going to camp out, can I go do it? And Dad said, I want you in bed by a certain time. And it was earlier and I wanted to go to bed, and I asked, he did change it a little bit, he said, you can't go unless you're in bed by this time. Okay. So I went. Well, of course, we were up to no good and we were headed out down the road. We were going to go toilet paper City Hall. That's what we were going to do. And we're walking across town, you know, and all of a sudden I remember, oh wait, what time is it? And they said, it's X o'clock, you know, it's 15 till. I said, oh, I got to go back. Why? I told my dad I would be in bed at such and such time. And my friend said, he doesn't care. He doesn't know. I said, yeah, but I told him. He said I couldn't do it unless I was going to be back at this time. And he said, when he says things like that, he doesn't expect you to do it. And that was the difference between his dad and my dad. I knew my dad meant it. And I knew my dad wasn't going to see what time I got back. But he told me I had to be back at that time. And I told him I would be back at that time. And so that settled it. Now, my friend, you know, like he smoked and he told me why he smoked. He said, you know why I smoked? Because my dad said, don't ever let me catch you smoking. So that's why he smoked. He also said this about his dad. This is my buddy. In high school, he had two Mustangs, not just one, two. I had a Mustang at one point. My buddy next door had a Mustang. And the other bud down the street, two Mustangs. He had a Mach 1 from the 70s, which was the time it was. And he had like a 65 2+2 classic Mustang in beautiful condition. In high school. And he told me, he said, my dad will give me anything I want, but he would never play catch with me. Last year when I was doing a meeting in Alabama, I saw some old friends who were part of the same circle. And one of them told me about this guy I'm telling you about. Life has gone badly for him. He's an alcoholic. Life has gone bad. Can you see the mistakes there? I did some stupid things, but I understood when my dad said, no, you can't stay out later than that. It was a good thing, and I understood he meant it. Don't think you're being selfish when you expect your children to obey. Some common mistakes to avoid. Parenting pitfalls. Mistake number one, failing to discipline is one of the most common ones. And if you are out in public, you've seen this on display all the time. The Bible says in Proverbs 13, verse 24, he who spares his rod hates his son. He who loves him disciplines him diligently. We'll talk more about this later, but please notice the motive of the discipline. Is it he that's angry with his son disciplines him diligently? He's who's embarrassed about his son disciplines him diligently? How many times have you ever seen a brat misbehaving and then the parent says, oh, they never do this at home? You heard people say that? This is not about showing off in front of other people. This is not about saving face as a parent. This is about doing what's good for the child and preparing them for life so they'll learn the lessons that they need to learn. He that spares his rod hates his son. He who loves him disciplines him diligently. Proverbs 19:18, discipline your son while there is hope. Do not desire his death. Why the while? Why the temporal note in there? Here's why. Because there comes a time where you don't have the ability really to impact that child. A child is a little, we sing a song, we need to stay this way before our Heavenly Father. Like clay in a potter's hand, help us to yielding be, you know. So when the Father tries to mold us this way, what do we need to do? Mold that way. We don't need to be stiff-necked. We need to mold. Well, as children are growing up, they're a little bit like clay. Early on, how pliable is clay? Really pliable. After a while, what starts happening to that clay? It starts firming up. Discipline your son while there's hope. Do not desire his death. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will drive it far from him. Proverbs 22:15. Do not hold back discipline from the child. Although you strike him with the rod, he will not die. Now, we need to be very, very clear. We're not talking about abusing children. There's a lot of people that need to be in jail, and some of them are, who've done terrible things to children. But when you're spanking a child, he may sound like, there's a girl y'all know, I won't call her name, but y'all know her very well, and she was here recently. When she was growing up, her brother told her, he said, hadn't you figured it out yet? When you're getting a spanking, cry really, really hard, it'll stop quicker. So just because the child is making a lot of noise, that doesn't mean they're really being hurt. That's part of their way sometimes. Oh, this was terrible. I will tell you this story real quick. So many times when I was getting a spanking, it was alongside the other two boys, as you can imagine. You know, we were arguing, getting in a fight, causing trouble, hadn't done what said, okay, boys. And it, Mom'd say, go out and get a switch would be one way to do it. We'd have to go out and get our switch and everything. And one day I had decided to be a big boy. And I understood I was going to get a spanking. I wasn't objecting to the spanking. I was just going to be a big boy and not cry. And so Jeff got his spanking. Okay, Jeff bent over, and he got his spanking, and as usual, Jeff, nah, which is what I usually did too. Then Scott bent over, and I got my spanking. Daryl bent over, and he got his spanking. And Jeff and Daryl were doing the same thing I usually do. Ah! I was busy being a big boy. And my mom goes, I must not have got you hard enough. Get back over here. And my little heart was always, I was trying to be a big boy. And then she let me go. I'm thankful for the spankings that my mom and my dad gave. They were doing it for our good. There was never a question of whether or not mom loved me. You know, she loved us. When we were getting a spanking, we understood why. Some children grow up in a home and they don't know why mom is being so mean to them. They don't know why dad is being so mean to them. And it's just because they got born in a home with mean people that will abuse them because they've had a bad day or the child did something that embarrassed them. You know what? Children are going to sometimes embarrass you. If you've had a baby and you've got dressed up to go to a nice event and then the baby spat up all over your nice dress or suit, you know what? That might be a little bit embarrassing. But you know what every other parent that loves their children understands? They understand that too. That's not a big deal. The rod and reproof bring wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. Correct your son. He will give you comfort. He will also delight your soul. Proverbs 29, verse 17. Emily Harmon got married yesterday. Went down to West Virginia and got to see that and be slightly involved in the wedding. And it was just so beautiful. And she and Caleb, they're just right for each other. And there was Emily's parents and Emily's grandparents who've been there at the church in Morgantown for so long. And I was just complimenting the grandparents because just how satisfying that had to be for them to see this fine girl marrying this fine man and just see that thing. It is a delight to the soul to see people making good choices. Not just that there was a wedding, but look what kind of person she waited for and chose. Look what kind of person he was doing that. That is such a valuable thing. To have somebody that wants to do what's good and find somebody else godly if they're going to marry. Mistake number two. Well, I'm going to stop a little bit earlier tonight. Usually I'm going to try to stop just after 10 till, but we got time to get a few more through here. Rewarding misbehavior is another mistake that many, many, many parents make. And if you just ask, if you had a room full of parents and you said, how many of you think it's a good idea to reward children for misbehaving? How many parents would raise their hand? Because when you put it in those words, no, what, reward them for being bad? No, no. But that is exactly what people do. It's one of the more common parental mistakes, to reward misbehavior. Why do children throw tantrums? Because then they get what they want. So it can be mom's at the grocery store, and she's going along, and there's the little guy in the seat, and he goes, I want that. I want that cereal. I want that cereal. And she's either doesn't have enough time or enough money, or, you know, she knows it's not very nutritious. And she says, no, we're not going to get that. I want it. I want it. No, shh, shh, shh. No, no, sit down. We're not going to get it. I want that cereal. I want that cereal. And of course, what are other people in the grocery store now doing? They're looking. Now, how does mom feel? Mom's embarrassed. And now she starts being not, she's annoyed with her child, but she's embarrassed in front of other people. And she said, oh, I'm sorry. No, no, we can't get, we'll talk about this later. You know, no, no, I'm sorry. I want that, I want father. No, shut, you're embarrassing me. She doesn't, why is she telling him, you're embarrassing me? And you've heard mom say that, right? What do you think he's trying to do? He knows how this works better than she does. Because the more, and so he starts kicking and screaming, I hate you, I hate you. And he's kicking, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And then what does she do? Boom. Down to the little pirate. That's his intention. He knows if he makes a scene, mom cares more about her not being embarrassed in public than about him, apparently. That's not what he's thinking about. He's just thinking about how to get that, but he's learned mom better than she's learned him. And he knows if I pitch a big enough fit, she's going to get embarrassed and give me what I want. And that's why he does it. So then next time when he wants something, what's he going to do? Same thing over and over and over. I want to share the story about the worm. Years ago, I was doing this series in Birmingham, and somebody told me the worm story. I thought, oh, that's really good. I'm going to start putting it in my lessons. And so for a few years, I was putting it in there, but I assumed it was, you know, one of those made-up stories, not real, until I did this series in Tennessee, and Sarah Bain Bunny, who is married to Bob Bunny, was in the audience. And she said, no, that's not a made-up story. That really happened. Bob's the one that saw it happen. So she gave me more of the details. So this, I think, back in the 50s or early 60s. And he had a meeting down in Florida. And it was a well-to-do family. And they had paid for interior decorators to make the house all nice and everything. But the curtains were all pulled down by this little tyrant brat. And it was breakfast time, and this is what happened. They cooked some breakfast and gave it to the child. And the child goes, I don't want it. And the parent said, well, what do you want? And the child said, I want a worm. The parent went outside and dug up a worm and brought it in and offered it to the child. The child said, I want it cooked. The parent took a skillet and cooked the worm, offered the cooked worm, and the child said, I want you to eat half of it. I'm not going to use the word adult. I'm going to keep using the word parent. The parent cut the worm in half and ate their half of the worm. And then the child didn't want that either. That's bad ignorant. Did that make that child happy? Sometimes you think, well, if I give them what they want, they'll be happy. You ever seen a spoiled child? Is that the child you think of when you think of a happy child? No. Lowering the bar, accommodating, and facilitating misbehavior. Suppose mom has a tea and she's got her friend over and the boys are sitting down watching video and you got one kind of middle-sized boy and then two little bitty guys, maybe they're three or something, and they're wanting to watch something very, very childish. And the one that's about 3 years older, that's too kiddy for him. He doesn't like that. That's dumb. And he insists on changing it. And they're like, they want to watch your program, but he's not going to watch that CD or whatever it is. And that's dumb. And he maybe pushes one of them and changes it. And now there starts to be some crying and some tears. And the moms go back there to hear what's going on. And they see what's going on and say the six-year-old is kind of bullying the three-year-olds because he wants to watch this instead. And here's going to be the mom of the six-year-old. Oh, and we'll name him Billy. Whatever. Oh, Billy, you shouldn't do it. Now watch what she does. Oh, you shouldn't do that. You should share. You shouldn't push the other children. You shouldn't act like that. Do you have maybe another video player so Billy can watch his and they can watch? No. The last thing in the world, well, the thing that Billy should never get is what he wanted in that situation because of how badly he misbehaved. You know what needs to happen to Billy? Billy needs a spanking. And if it was my Billy, I think I'd spank him right in front of those other boys. And he would apologize to those boys, and he would apologize to their mother. That would embarrass him. Good. Because apparently, at this moment in life, I've got a little bully and a fool. And foolishness is in the heart of the child, and I need to drive it out from him. But if I facilitate it, what lesson does he learn? One, he's learned when I don't get what I want, I can misbehave. And if that doesn't work, Mom will make sure I get what I want. I've been hearing stories of people, adults, getting fired at a job because they're not doing their job or not doing it right. And their mom comes in to talk to the boss that they're supposed to give him his job back. You think that's working? That mom failed that child way, 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 way back. Don't facilitate misbehavior. Letting a child get his way is not doing them a favor. It will spoil him. Letting a child get his way will not satisfy him. It will spoil him. They did some research, a playground in a city with streets and buses and trucks and strangers. And when there were no fence up, they noticed the kids stayed in the middle of the playground. Then they put a fence up. Guess where the kids played? All over the playground. Why? Now they felt safe and secure, and the boundaries were set. Children do really, really well with boundaries. Will they test them sometimes? Yeah. My niece Holly, who a lot of you know, when she was little, Libby, she had some teacups and stuff around. She decided, I'm not going to child-proof my house. I'm going to world-proof my child. So she taught Holly, she'd reach up there to poke the teacup, said, that's no-no, you know. And then Holly figured out that you couldn't do it with your finger. So she took a pencil. And she got a no-no on that too. And she learned, okay, yeah, you can't do that. So they will sometimes push the boundaries, but when we enforce it and let them know, no, here's the boundaries, that child ends up being much, much, much happier. The difference between a boy and a pig, it has been said, is that if you give both of them everything they want, you will get a really, really tasty pig and a really, really bad boy. The Bible says, and we'll close with this text, the rod and reproof bring wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. Children bring so much joy. And there needs to be a lot of joy in their lives. And they bring joy to our lives. But they'll bring much more joy when we're also training them. And they're saying please. And they're saying thank you. And they're understanding no. And they're following the rules. That's going to make them better citizens, better employees, and that's going to have a heart better ready to deny self and take up the cross. Their cross and follow Jesus Christ. And if you need to do that this evening, won't you do so as we stand and sing?